All right, let me jump on into the Right Side Way opening monologue. And I'll just remind you guys that the Right Side Way is brought to you every single day by Stan McDonald. Stan McDonald, partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee in Huntsville, 30-year veteran in the practice of law. Stan McDonald is indeed your daily sponsor of the Right Side Way. And I'll tell you more about Stan here in just a minute. All right, so not so long ago, the world saw the most incredible display of first world jackassery that I've ever seen. First world, because the third world doesn't care about this stuff. Only the first world cares about things like transgenderism. The first world jackassery right there at the Supreme Court of the United States, one of the most respected and well-preserved bastions of the rule of law in the entire world. A place where, allegedly, legal jurisprudence is supposed to meet with common sense and render precedents that affect literally hundreds of millions of people, and even second and third order effects on billions of others around the world. The Supreme Court heard oral arguments by a woman pretending to be a man, arguing in favor of mutilating young children because they were supposedly born in the wrong bodies. Let all that sink in. A woman who believes she's a man stood in front of the bench in the highest court of our land and argued the finer points of law with those who were supposed to be the greatest legal minds in the nation. Y'all, we have slipped off into some kind of post-apocalyptic mayhem. The person I'm speaking of goes by the name of Chase Strangio. Chase Strangio, which sounds like a name right out of DC Comics' directory of supervillains. Strangio's mission in life is to argue that men can be women, even when they are mere children. Because yes, Strangio, if that is even her real name, notice I said her, believes adamantly in the idea of parents having no say in whether or not a child can switch their gender with the help of other adults who have no parental rights over the children. It's a sick and twisted philosophy straight from the gates of hell. Look, I've said it before, but in my opinion, there are some things for which a nation will be judged. There are some things that future generations will look back on and literally judge their ancestors on how they responded. We look back on things like the Salem witch trials now, right? And we're repulsed by it, but it happened. We look back on slavery now, and we're repulsed by it, but it happened. We look back on the genocide of Jews, and we're repulsed by it, but it happened. And I believe that how we as a modern generation act right now to care for and protect our kids, that is something that future generations will judge us for, because it's them judging us on how we raised them, how we protected them, how we cared for them. And in some ways, we've been failing our kids, failing them miserably. Reports are out that the Biden administration utterly, unconscionably was indifferent to children throughout its administration. Particularly, you could consider the plight of 300,000 missing minors who came across our southern border during the great human wave of the Biden era. 300,000 plus children wandered, walked, and many times were trafficked right across our southern border. Some with no more than a phone number written on their arms, or a little note in their little pockets. And during the Biden years, it was deemed acceptable to do what no one in the White House would have ever done to their own children. They simply called the number written on the child's arm and then turned these precious innocent children over to whoever showed up to claim them. But recent reports indicate that while some may still be with whoever took custody of them, that at least 58,000 are just gone. Like, we don't know where they are, like no clue, in the wind. The government has no idea at all where 58,000 of them are all. Are located. No idea if they're healthy and loved or abused, trafficked, and forced into labor. Yesterday, it was reported that the Trump administration's efforts to locate these kids has so far resulted in locating 13,000 of them, and that's a great start, but there's so many more to go. In the process, ICE has actually arrested 422 of these so-called sponsors who they determined were actually abusing the children they were handed over to. Basically, the Biden administration opened up the Amazon of abuse for sick people to grab the kid of their choice and take them home, just like delivered them straight to their door. Well, yesterday also, Congress opened up special hearings on this most callous of all policies. The hearing itself was titled, quote, Catch and Release, Lose and Forget, Addressing the Crisis of Unaccompanied Alien Children. Let that sink in. The Congressional Subcommittee on Federal Law Enforcement, chaired by Louisiana Republican Clay Higgins, held a hearing that was called Catch and Release, Lose and Forget, and it was about kids. In his remarks, Chairman Higgins emphasized that the Biden border crisis has enabled the trafficking and exploitation of vulnerable unaccompanied alien children. He cited a report by the Department of Homeland Security's Office of the Inspector General. And what the IG found was that DHS and the Department of Health and Human Services had failed over the past 4 years to properly safeguard children. He also said the findings are a double-edged sword because while some vulnerable children have likely been trafficked, exploited, and subjected to forced labor, the report also found that there were older teens that were also convicted criminals and gang members. While the hardworking men and women of ICE may want to do their best, the sheer volume of the cases that the prior administration's open border policies dropped in on them just overwhelmed the entire system. But it's not too late to place emphasis on doing what's right, what's needed, what's mandatory, what is good and just for the most precious among us, our children. We can still pull this generation out of the crapper of history if we will just double down and fix what the progressive left has been doing. Nationwide, I think there's a renewed focus, an emphasis, if you will, on asserting that in America we value our children, and as such, we want what's best for them in every way. As conservatives, we want to know that our children are being taught the best possible levels of reading, writing, arithmetic, sciences, technology, history, and civics. In essence, when it comes to education, we want them to have a real education. We also want our kids to be safe, to feel valued, to have positive social interactions, to be given every opportunity, to be protected from every vice. And we want to know that we can care for, love, and raise up our children in the way they should go so that when they grow older, they will not depart from it. But the progressive left, they just want our kids. They want them right there on the altar of their progressive left prurient ideologies. They don't care about kids. They only care about getting what they want from kids. And it's our job as this generation to say no. It's our job to put up the firewalls on computers, to safeguard the homes, to know the teachers, and to give the children every actual chance to grow and flourish. Children in America too often face the social contagion of constant pressure to follow their own truth, to get medical intervention, even surgeries, winding up with, you know, a lifetime of counseling and medication. We have a society that will tell children they need to understand, accept, and even participate in adult versions of sexuality, even to the extent of allowing children who cannot drive, legally sign a contract, marry, or join the military to make a decision that they're not what their biology says they are. We have reached the zenith of social schizophrenia. On the one hand, telling a child that we're going to affirm them, while on the other hand, demanding that they be treated or altered because they were made wrong. How is that affirming? We claim to value children as important, as dear to us, and yet we have callously allowed a national policy of allowing vulnerable children to wander across our borders and then be farmed out to alleged family members, and then promptly wash our hands of them and write them off the books. We have to rein this in. They will be adults soon enough if they make it that far. How will they remember their childhood? How will 300,000 kids remember their childhood? Kids are a gift from God. And we're called to be good stewards of his gifts. That's why I'm concerned. Our nation is on the one hand doing all that we can for kids, and on the other hand, we are destroying them at a rate never before seen. Gone are the days where we can just turn a blind eye. Gone are the days we can just shrug our shoulders and go, that's not my kid, so it's not my fight. It is your fight. Progressive liberals want our kids, and if it's not your kid today, it'll be your grandchild tomorrow. It'll be that sweet neighbor kid who plays in the yard. It'll be the little minions who run in the hallways of your church or play on the playground at the corner or ride bikes on your street. This, my friends, is a fight for all of us. This is for all God's children. As a nation, as a culture, we're going to be held accountable one day. I believe that. Future generations, who are kids right now, will look back on this time, and what will they say about us? It is not enough to say that we were good stewards with our possessions, or our skills and talents, or our natural resources, or even our time. One of the greatest forms of stewardship that any culture could ever be measured against is a simple question, what did you do with the children? And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.